This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello and welcome to The Complete Guide to Everything, a podcast about everything. I'm one of your hosts, Tom.
I'm Tim.
I almost pointed at you to start the show.
Now
and then
you
I remembered
start the show.
I start the show.
In your defense, it's only been 14 years.
Yeah. Still learning the ropes here about our very simple intro. How are you doing this week, Tim?
Tom, do I seem calm to you? Do I seem relaxed?
You do seem calm and relaxed.
Well, I got news for you.
You told me you were hungover earlier, though. Is that
I didn't
what...
say I was hungover. I said I drank a gallon of wine last night. But I think I rallied very...
You did. And then when I asked you if you want another beer, you said, oh, I'm going slow tonight.
Well, just because...
Just a six-pack for me before the show starts. Thanks.
You know, you can not want to imbibe irresponsible yeah. amount of alcohol two nights in a row without being...
Yeah, that's me nowadays, I think. Like, thankfully, I'm rarely, like, hungover. But, like, sometimes I'll drink enough that the next day I'm like, I gotta take it a little easy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have a headache or anything, but it's just like, yeah.
Like, life will not be enjoyable if this happens to me
yeah.
often. But it's not like... There's
not
no
the
like acute
world.
Symptoms or anything.
Right. Because let me tell you, like, hangovers only get worse when you get older.
Yeah.
Like, the handful of hangovers I've had in recent years, like, they'll last 2 days.
Yeah. And, like, again, the there's been times where there have been, like, acute hangovers where it's mm-hmm. like, oh, God. But today was just kind of like.
Oh, God, kill me.
Yeah, seriously. Today was just like. I zoned out in the shower for like 10 minutes and I was like, wait, am I still in the shower? This feels nice.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, that's more my wavelength. But Tom,
mm-hmm.
that's not...
Why you're calm?
Yeah.
Why are you calm?
But can you narrate what's about to happen here?
Oh, no. He's taking his pants off. What? What the hell? He just pulled something out of his... He pulled like a big... ball of wax out of his ear?
No, it's an earplug.
Okay.
I've been wearing these unbeknownst to you.
Wow.
This
You've been
time.
Wearing a wire this whole time?
Well, no, it's not a wire.
All right, boys, take care of them. You know what we do to stool
whenever
pigeons.
Whenever I walk into your apartment, you make me take off my shirt. You tell me it's a check for wires, but
yeah,
I don't know.
Make sure you're not wearing a wire and you know, bootlegging this show on your own.
Yeah. No, these are, I don't want to say the brand name yet.
Uh-huh.
But, because I don't remember the brand name.
Yeah.
I think it's like Calmer is the product line.
I was going to say, I feel like I've gotten Instagram ads.
I got a lot of
something.
Instagram ads for it.
Mm-hmm.
Tom, it
this
purports-
is not an endorsement,
no.
by the way. It is not an ad.
It purports, they just arrived this morning. It purports
okay.
to help you deal with misophonia,
oh, okay.
which is
yeah.
I definitely suffer from. We've talked about it for uh-huh. years on the show, which is like small noises bother
yeah.
you, like
yeah.
chewing, like
chewing,
little,
yeah,
yeah.
yeah, where you'll say things like, I'll mention like how it's like fun to go to the movie theater, and you're like, yeah, but all those monsters chewing popcorn, don't you want to just kill everyone?
Yeah, don't you though?
No, I don't have misophonia.
And yeah, so I definitely, and then I've self-diagnosed myself ADHD, and
uh-huh.
it's supposed to help with that as well.
Okay.
All I know is, Tom, and this yeah. might be because I drank a gallon of wine last night.
Uh-huh.
In the thing, it's like, wear these as close to 24 hours a day as possible.
Drink a gallon of wine beforehand.
Yeah. Tom, I've been nothing has bothered me today. Mm. Like I've kept an even keel.
Yeah.
And you know what?
Well,
some people might be like, that's a placebo.
Yeah.
You know what? If it's placebo, it worked. Yeah. I'm all for placebos.
Oh yeah. I mean, and I so is the scientific community.
100 different sugar pills every day.
Well, I think if you know they're sugar pills, Tim, then you're just eating sugar.
I know they're delicious though.
Yeah. Why do they have to be sugar, huh?
Because hey, they go down easy.
Yeah.
Sweets. I mean, love them, folks.
I would think if I were in like some kind of controlled clinical trial, I would think, oh, well, this one's the placebo. It tastes like sugar instead of medicine.
Right. Well, you're not supposed to chew them.
Well, why do they have to put sugar in them at all? Why not just have them full of sawdust or something? It's a euphemism.
Yeah. Well, sawdust would upset the stomach, I think.
I think a little sawdust might settle the stomach in some cases.
You ever go to a butcher shop and they got the sawdust on the floor?
Yeah. You ever go there and say, hey, mind if I eat a little of this? I got an upset tummy.
They're like, yeah, well,
yeah,
you know.
Do whatever you want. Yeah, I like
no skin off my ass.
I like when places have sawdust on the floor.
I don't.
No?
Because it clumps up in like
yeah, where all the blood is.
Yeah, I just wish it was evenly distributed.
Like a beach kinda.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Make the butcher shop more like a beach.
Yeah.
I worked in a butcher shop, Tom, as a teen.
Yeah.
That did not have sawdust on the floor.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it kind of like other butcher shops probably were like, yeah, you can just like mop.
Yeah.
If you want to.
You could hire a guy named Tim who will mop.
Yeah. Get your own Tim.
Yeah.
I
worked real cheap, Tom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it was
they
like
paid me
the
in pork chops.
Wow. Oh, pork chops don't go as far as
you
they
know
used
what?
To.
They did. Here's the thing.
They did pay you in pork chops.
Essentially. Mm-hmm. So
what's a teenager going to do with a dozen pork chops?
Well, feed himself and his family. So I was like 16. I was employed at the butcher shop.
Would have called you Timmy Pork Chops instead of Timmy Meatballs.
Yeah. I ate my fair share of meatballs on the clock. No. Okay. So it's where.
At home, they called you Timmy Pork Chops.
It's where all the moms shopped, right?
Yeah.
Your mom was there. I remember one Thanksgiving morning. I kind of ushered her to the front of the line to get her turkey that she had ordered. I said, Mrs. Reynolds, here's your turkey.
Yeah.
She said, thank you.
Well, I mean, had she like already paid for it and she was just picking it up?
Yeah, but but it was full. There was like 1,000
yeah,
orders.
Yeah, but still, it's like, oh, I know what that person's here for. They're just picking something up. I can help.
But everybody
cut the line.
Was just picking something up.
Well, then
we
why
weren't
is there
selling
such a big line?
Because you got to go back into the refrigerator and come out, and you had to go through all the turkeys. All the turkeys look the fucking same, Doug.
Yeah, why'd you label the turkeys?
Because, you know, some people wanted a 16-pounder, wanted a 12-pounder.
Why don't you just organize them by weight? And then
I wasn't the manager, Tom. I was 16.
Well, yeah, with that attitude,
and
you never would be.
I do want to add that your mom and I have a funny way of running into each other on holidays, because I ran into her at a Dunkin' Donuts one time the day after Christmas.
Yeah, Boxing Day.
Yeah.
Another holiday.
That's what the song Brick is about.
Running into my mom.
6 a.m., day after Christmas. Running into Tom's mom at the Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's that funny. I think it's probably like your home for the holidays. And I guess I don't know where I was.
So this was the system they had. Mm-hmm. All the mom. So my mom naturally mm-hmm. shopped at that butcher shop also.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I was paid under the table.
Mm-hmm.
I can say that now.
Yeah.
And that didn't even matter. So my mom would come in and, you know, she'd be like, okay, we're having pork chops. Mm-hmm. I'd like to buy some pork chops, please. Or she would like.
They were like, well, let's take them out of Tim's paycheck.
That's what they did. They were like, oh, you will get a quote unquote discount and we'll take it out of the paycheck.
Yeah.
I don't think there was much of a discount applied.
Right.
And also, my mom was, you know, ostensibly going to pay me back for that.
Okay.
I don't think, I think maybe I was footing the bill for my family's pork chop habit back in the 90s.
Wow. Yeah.
Wild allegations to,
to be throwing around.
To lob around 25 years later. But
I mean, I do remember your family had pork chops for dinner every night.
Yeah, we were pork chop.
And every lunch, every breakfast. It was just
other white meat, Tom.
It was just always pork chops.
Is pork red meat, and that's why they said the other white meat?
Because,
like, we're second banana to chicken. Like,
yeah.
Chicken's white meat, and we're the other one. It's better than, like...
Yeah, we're not going to be able to take on red meat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess it's kind of white meat. It's not, like, as bloody as beef. I don't know. This is the kind of question I would ask you as the...
I know.
Former butcher.
Been out of the game
employee.
For too long, Tom. So anyway, these earplugs are working real nice.
Well,
I can't hear you, and that's a plus.
Well, I was gonna say that it is a little bit of a problem. You've been screaming this whole time, Tim. the mic's just all in the red. Just I don't know how we're gonna
price
be able
you pay
to,
for me to
fix
not
this in post.
Be able to sit near somebody eating a bag of potato chips.
I mean, I'm not gonna eat anything.
You're always eating a bag of potato chips.
I'm
it's not
always
just
eating
that.
A bag
it's
of potato
just
chips.
Not that, Tom.
Okay.
It's everything. It's me getting distracted. I'm less distractible.
Right. I think I kind of do that with my AirPod Pros.
Yeah.
That those are just kind of like in my ears all the time during the day.
Yeah, and that's what I would do. I would like blast white noise through noise canceling headphones just to like get through the day, and it's like that's probably not a healthy way for a brain to work.
Now what happens if you got these things in, you go to put like earbuds in, is it just gonna jam those things into your brain?
Yeah, and that's just the price you pay.
But then you'll be cured of all this stuff for good. You won't have to worry about it anymore. How much something like that set you back?
I think it was like $14.99.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, $14,000.
What? $14,000?
Yeah, I mean,
Tim, you pulled it out of your ear. It just looked like a piece of plastic.
Yeah, you pulled it out of your ass.
Wow, Tim. I think these new earbuds are making you angry.
No, I'm still drunk from last night.
I don't like this new Tim. I mean, I guess that's a pretty good business. I shouldn't shit on these things. I was like, watch next week. They'll be a sponsor.
Yeah.
But like if you're selling for $15 earplugs that cost maybe a nickel to produce.
Yeah, they always say that, but like, you know what? Like back in the 90s when it's like, I gotta pay $17.99 for a CD, it's just a piece of plastic.
Uh-huh.
It's like, it's 5 cents worth of plastic. It's like, yeah, but like they put a lot of money and talent into what's on the CD.
Right.
There's a lot of money in developing these things, bud.
It just kind of looked like a earplug. Earplug with a hole in it. Probably they got a bunch of factory defects at a deep discount.
From what I understand, this is science back technology that they're incorporating into this.
That's what everybody says. It's all horseshit. Tim, this week we're talking about Movies.
I was gonna sing a movies song, but we didn't have the rights. Hooray for Hollywood, part two.
Hooray for Hollywood. We're talking about summer blockbusters because it's almost, it is, we decided last week, summer blockbuster time. As we record this, Tim, I think people are probably lining up for the midnight showing of Fast X.
Oh, which is getting middling reviews. Too bad reviews, right?
Oh, is it?
I think so.
Yeah. Have any of them ever gotten good reviews? I feel like maybe somewhere around like 6 or 7 people were probably like,
I think,
this is stupid, but it's
fun.
Yeah,
I think at some point it's like, it's campy fun. It's camp. But now people are just like, this is annoying. These cars are too loud. Put some mufflers on them.
Yeah. Yeah, hey, where's the, I want to see all the inspection stickers of these cars.
Yeah.
I think they might be putting too many emissions out. I wonder if they've got, they must by now have like some electric cars in those movies.
I don't know.
Maybe not.
We'll see. I mean, go see. Maybe that's why Fast X is getting such bad reviews.
Yeah, maybe they put maybe somebody drives like a Prius.
Yeah.
And they're like, it's better for the environment. And Vin Diesel tells him, "You're out of the family."
Out of the family. All right. So where we left off.
We had talked about Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse coming out June 2nd. So actually, like, pretty soon. I think that's probably the next movie I'm hoping slash planning to see in theaters.
Right. Hoping to see, as if it's like a real unattainable goal to go to a showing of a film that you really want to see?
Well, it's not as unattainable. It's like I'll probably forget that.
Buy tickets right now, Tom.
Well, but if I buy tickets now, you know what? I also like nowadays, I like to wait for the reviews.
Even you know? Into the Spider-Verse 2?
Yeah, I'm sure it's going to be pretty good. It, like, you know,
you,
it's
the first one was like a top five movie of all time for you.
Yeah, and like it's got all the same people involved. Yeah, I'll probably.
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man's in it. It's other Spider-Mans.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, we'll stop right now. I'll go buy some tickets. But after that, Tim, the next big motion picture. Oh, I don't have the date this one comes out. I think maybe it's the weekend after. Transformers Rise of the Beasts, aka how many Transformers movies do you think there have been?
I'm gonna say 11.
No. This will be the seventh Transformers movie, which is why I put seven parentheses there. Here's the description for that. Thanks to RottenTomatoes.com. Thanks to the success of 2018's Bumblebee, so that's 5 years ago.
Yeah, I saw part of that film in a barbershop.
Was it a bootleg version of it?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Yeah. We have another throwback Transformers flick in Rise of the Beast, which takes place in the 1990s and sees another human ally played by In the Heights' Anthony Ramos teaming up with the Autobots, known as Maximals, in their war against the Predacons and Terrorcons.
What the hell's going on?
I mean, I think to their credit, I think they're being like, I'm not too familiar with like that. I loved the Transformers cartoons when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I loved it as a kid when I was like too little to know anything beyond like, it's a truck and it turns into a robot.
Right.
That's great.
Very cool.
But like watching the cartoon, I think a lot of it went over my head.
Yeah, it was very, very all the subtleties really.
Well, it's just kind of like, I don't know, or maybe it didn't go over my head, but there was just like no real story.
Yeah,
it was just, you know, there are bad guys and there are good guys and they're always fighting each other. But I think to the Transformers franchise credit, the more recent Transformers, I think they've, you know, gone back to the toys, and I'm sure there are Maximals and Predacons.
Right.
And it's just like, yeah, we'll put those in here. I remember, like, the Beast Transformers. You remember those? Like, in the 90s, there were a lot of commercials.
Yeah.
Like, we were too old by then, I think, but I remember commercials.
Beast
like,
Wars?
Yeah, like, Beast Wars.
Yeah.
I'm a tiger. I'm a fucking... horse.
There was a horse in Beast Wars?
Yeah, well, he was one of the beasts that everybody hated. You never see horses as villains and things. I think they should change that.
Yeah.
And like bad guys have horses, but
yeah, but the horses aren't. Yeah, they don't blame. They don't put the onus of the bad behavior.
Yeah, and you feel
horse.
Bad when it's like the bad guys come in. What should we do? Like shoot his horse, and then they shoot the horse, and the bad guy goes flying. It's like, oh, that poor horse. That horse probably loved that guy. It's like that guy gives me like carrots.
Well, then he's bad.
And sugar.
Yeah, the horse was just following orders.
The horse doesn't understand. Like, oh, that guy's like committing genocide. You know, they're just using to humanize him.
No excuse, Tom.
Yeah, well, you're always anti-horse.
I am always anti-horse.
If you ever make a motion picture franchise, maybe we'll have a shot at a horse being the Thanos of everything.
Freaking kicking people in the head till they die with their hooves.
They can do it in one kick sometimes.
I know. That's why I'll never sneak up on a horse.
Tim, I'm playing the Zelda game. I was trying to sneak up on a horse the other day and it kicked me in the head.
Yeah. See?
Yeah. I was going to tame it and make it mine. But
they're wild horses.
I guess I was being a little too loud and it kicked me in the head. I don't think I've seen any of the Transformers movies. Maybe I've seen the first one, like part the most of any of them.
Yeah, I haven't seen. I saw some of Bumblebee at the barber shop, as I mentioned. But other than that, I don't think I've seen a minute of these things. Shia LaBeouf's in them. Not this one.
But it's one of those things where it's like, I don't think he's been in them for like a decade.
Yeah.
You know, they've just made so many of these for so long at this point. They were Michael Bay, but now it's, I don't know. There's probably like not even a director for this one. It's just like, the visual effects supervisor's name is whatever. And they're actually the one calling all the shots here.
Yeah. Spielberg is involved with this.
Oh, yeah. Maybe he was the producer on the first one.
Which also makes me feel like Steven Spielberg makes more money in one day from the Transformers films.
Yeah,
from today,
VOD rentals.
Yeah, than I will make in my entire life.
Yeah, yeah, he's a rich guy.
Yeah, and like just to be like, yeah. Oh, you know who the lead voice in this film?
Who?
Rise of the Beasts. Your buddy Pete Davidson.
Oh, I don't think he's the lead voice, but I know he's like
he plays
it.
Mirage. Mm-hmm. He's number one billed on IMDb right now.
Oh, well, all right, he's the lead.
That he seems like about right for like that. That's a good match to like star power and sensibility to the Transformers. Like, yeah, kind of junky. Kind of like a junkie guy. Not a junkie.
Right.
But just kind of like a lowbrow guy.
Yeah. And we like Pete Davidson on this podcast.
I think he's very funny. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's also like, you know, you know the day he came in to record his lines, he was like, you know how much they're paying me for this? And I only have to be here for like an afternoon. Yeah. Transformers Beast Wars. Tim, will you be there opening night?
I'll be there opening morning.
Lining up, being the first in line, the Star Wars movies people used to do.
I want to get front row.
Well, front row is not necessarily the best
front
seat.
Row all the way over to the right.
I had a seat in the second row to see Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. Mm-hmm. But I feel like nowadays, it's probably not all movie theaters, but all movie theaters that are the restaurant/movie theater combo, they don't put the seats as close to the screen as other places.
Also, like, these places are not, it's not like, pack in as many seats as we can because we got big crowds coming all the time.
Yeah. Seeing in the second row was fine. Not a bad experience at all. But Transformers. This seems like the Transformers franchise seems like it must be one of those franchises that's just huge internationally.
Oh,
right?
Sure.
That it's just very easy for them to do the voiceover because, I guess it's somewhat animated, but do their lips even really move the way, you know, the robots, whatever. And it's just big spectacle and probably very easy to follow story. Either easy to follow stories or like convoluted stories that you don't have to
like
think about.
You when you're 4 years old being like, yeah, there's stuff going on, but like right. These robots are going to fight the other robots.
Yeah, I don't
and
know.
One of them's going to turn into a car. At one
I don't know what their problem is with each other, but I'm just here to watch the fight, guys.
Tom, and then a very similar film coming out presumably the next week, Asteroid City.
Yeah, this is a Wes Anderson joint.
Yeah, you're not a Wes Anderson fan.
I'm not, I guess. I like some of his stuff, but I think the more recent stuff is just a little too twee for me.
Yeah, and I think people see the way he composes his shots, and they're like, well, that's all there is to the end. Yeah. They ignore the fact that like these are solid films in many cases. I didn't like that Darjeeling Limited, but that came out 20 years ago now.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I remember really liking Rushmore.
Yeah.
And liking it because it had funny dialogue in it.
Yeah.
The whole nice nurses scrub guy. They're OR scrubs. Oh, are they?
Yeah, I saw that in the theater with you, Tom.
Uh-huh.
You nearly choked to death on your popcorn.
It's with Luke Wilson, right?
Yeah.
And
Jason Schwartzman.
Yeah. I love that line.
Well, Tom,
that exchange.
Asteroid City has a crackerjack cast.
Yeah.
Jason Schwartzman, mm-hmm. of the Coppola family.
Yeah, it's basically got like his normal cabal of actors, and then throw in some even bigger names.
Who do you notice? Someone who's pointedly missing, or maybe not so.
Yeah, Bill Murray.
Yeah,
Bill Murray. Not in this at all?
From what I understand, he's not. From what I understand, he was supposed to be.
Okay.
And then Tom Hanks filled in.
Ah, okay.
Which it'd be interesting to see Tom Hanks go like Bill Murray, like mm-hmm. late career Bill Murray. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if he's curmudgeonly enough, but the official story is Bill Murray got COVID, so he couldn't film the movie. But it's like
he got COVID for like 4 months.
Yeah. And it happened to coincide with them having to shut down another movie that Bill Murray was working on because he did something inappropriate.
Mm-hmm. And they went to like great lengths to like cover what that was.
Yeah.
Specifically, but
I like Bill Murray. I don't like very recent Bill Murray where he's like, he's not fun anymore.
Yeah.
He just seems like a dick now, right? He just seems like a crank, which is like, he was never a crank. He was always sardonic.
Yeah, yeah. He's a smart ass.
Yeah. But like, I don't know. I don't need to see the very old Bill Murray to be a smart ass and to be a crank and something.
He's in Quantumania, I want to say for one shot. Like, it is a very quick, and he's like the mayor of the city or whatever. Like, it was the kind of thing where it seemed like maybe he was in more of the movie, and not necessarily that they cut it because, you know, he had this problem mm-hmm. on another movie, but probably just like this boring, we need more spectacle type thing. But this movie, yeah, Tom Hanks, Scarlett Johansson.
Scarlett Johansson's in this movie?
Scarlett Johansson's in it. Jason Schwartzman, Bryan Cranston. Edward
McCran Man.
Yeah. Edward Norton, not the one from The Honeymooners.
Ralph Cramden.
Steve Carell.
Ryan Cranston, Ralph Cramden, Ed Norton.
Steve Carell, Hong Cho, and Margot Robbie.
Yeah. Not to mention Matt Dillon.
Oh, Matt Dillon's in it too?
Yeah.
From Entourage.
And William Dafoe.
Willem Dafoe, yeah.
Margaret Robbie.
Margot Robbie, I mentioned her, yeah.
Yeah.
The plot line here, the little description is, Wes Anderson's latest film features yet another massive collection of impressive A-listers, all gathered together to tell the interlocking stories of the organizers and attendees of a junior stargazer convention held in a fictional town. So it's like kind of sci-fi, and it's like 50s sci-fi, like 50s aesthetic at least.
Yeah, I still think you're going to hate this. I think you don't like the way dialogue is delivered in his
I
movies.
Just told you I like that. Oh, are they?
I know, but he's
he got away from that.
Yeah.
You could just put that same joke in the movie. I'd love it.
I know. We can just watch the Rushmore trailer.
Yeah.
If you're occupied.
But no, I mean, this is like a rare Wes Anderson movie that is a little interesting to me, that I'm like, oh, like I like 50s stuff. I like sci-fi.
Yeah,
type
you always
stuff.
Say that like you want the country to be a lot more like it was in the 50s.
No, that's not what I say, Tim. I don't know. It looks neat, and I feel like his aesthetic works for like the 50s better than it does for present day.
Right.
But Yeah, I don't know. I'll probably wait till it comes out. I do appreciate that, like, he's releasing a video in, like, the middle of the summer blockbuster video. A movie. One of these little videos he made on his camera right in the middle of the summer blockbuster season. Because I do think there needs to be more counter-programming.
Yeah. To Transformers Rise of the Beasts.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the same. Well, no. We'll talk about after the break the movie that's the same weekend during. But yeah, I don't know. Are you excited for this movie?
Sam? I'm excited for it. You know what the thing is? Like, sometimes these Wes Anderson movies are like, and this guy, and this guy, yeah, and this lady, and this lady. And then, like,
and they pop in for, like, one funny line. They're like a clerk at a store. And
yeah.
Like,
it's
like, are you going to buy that? And then nothing else.
Yeah, a lot of it does seem like, these days, like, how many famous people can we cram into this movie? And it's like, how about you just, like, you get, like, one or two guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like an odd couple situation.
Yeah.
Just make the odd couple. Yeah. Wes Anderson's The Odd Couple.
Yeah, with just one or two guys.
Yeah, probably two.
Yeah, probably two. Need two.
You need two. Or really talented one guy.
Or you can, you know, like, really shake up expectations. The Odd Couple, one guy. The whole movie is going, where is that other guy? It's just him trying to find the other guy.
Hmm. He was here a minute ago. That's odd.
Yeah. You know, things are getting odder and odder between us couple of people every day.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Tim, the next movie on the list, The Flash.
The Flash.
After a number of delays and rather public behind-the-scenes controversies involving its star, DC finally gives us The Flash, which follows Ezra Miller's Barry Allen as he uses his powers to change the past, only to realize his actions have had disastrous effects in the future, and he must figure out a way to save the world. Wow.
I like this movie better when it's called The Butterfly Effect, starring Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah, I guess it's somewhat similar to The Butterfly Effect. It's based on this comic called Flashpoint.
Okay.
Which...
Starring The Flash.
Starring The Flash, which was basically about The Flash going back in time to say, you know, he has like a very Batman-type origin where like his mother was killed.
Hmm.
His father was framed for the murder. So it like ruined his life. And he eventually gets fast enough where he can go through time.
Right.
So he decides, like, oh, why am I nuts? Why am I not going back in time saving my mom? He does that, but it causes, like you said, the butterfly effect.
Mm-hmm.
Although in the
Ashton Kutcher wakes up with no legs at one point.
Yeah. Although in the comic, it's like not necessarily the butterfly effect. It's just kind of like it fucks up a bunch of stuff that is, you know, it's not like, oh, because his mom lived, she did this and that happened, you know, and it's like, no, it just kind of like rewrote reality when he did this. Seemingly from the trailer, it rewrites his reality to be 1989 Batman reality, kind of.
Okay.
With Michael Keaton as Batman.
Yeah.
Although it's a little unclear from the trailers exactly what's going on, because it doesn't seem like
it's going to be stupid.
It doesn't seem like he's been like transported into that world. It seems like it's just kind of. But hey, this is the first movie with at least two Batmans. It's got Ben Affleck and Michael Keaton.
Exciting stuff, Tom.
Probably
The Flash. Mm-hmm. Correct me if I'm wrong. Runs very fast.
Tim, you wouldn't. He's the fastest man alive.
All right.
Yeah.
It's like not faster than Usain Bolt.
Tim, he can run so fast he can go back in time. So can Usain Bolt do it? No, I don't know. So.
I don't know. At this point, maybe.
I guess if he did, we would never know because, you know, he went back, changed the past, and, you know, we're just not aware of it.
Yeah.
I believe this
That's
movie.
What I've been saying all along. That's why I'm constantly screaming, we need to stop Usain Bolt.
I think this movie was announced like 12 years ago, like some insane amount of.
I'm sure it'll live up to all the hype. It'll be great.
No, apparently it's good.
Yeah, Tim, I'm sure. No, I'm.
Tim, do you know who gave it their endorsement just today?
Michael Keaton.
No, actually, he's been suspiciously silent on it. Stephen King.
Okay. Is it Tom?
What?
Everything Stephen King touches turns to gold.
He didn't. I mean, it's different than like when a new Stephen King TV show is coming out. He's like, this is great. And it's like, yeah, you got a cut of this. I don't think he's got any hand in it. Apparently, he was just shown like an early screening.
Okay.
A bunch of people were. Tom Cruise was given an early screening and he loved it.
Wow. Tom Cruise?
Yeah.
He. Famously critical of all types of movies, Tom Cruise. He loves going out there and just saying, like, you know what, this movie just wasn't good.
No, I'm very curious.
I love every single movie that's ever come out equally. They're all great. Every movie is great. It's the magic of cinema.
I am very curious about this movie because I love The Flash. I do not like Ezra Miller's portrayal of Barry Allen.
Right.
Like
Ezra Miller's personal off-screen antics.
Well,
though,
I was going to say nothing of all the problems he's been involved in, and I'm sure that's cost Warner Brothers a small fortune to pay these people to shut up and to go away, the victims of Ezra Miller. But I'm a huge Flash fan. I don't like Ezra Miller's Flash, and the trailer doesn't do a ton for me. But all these people are coming out and being like, no, this movie is like amazing. It's one of the best superhero movies of all time. They're not necessarily saying like, oh, no, it's the next, you know, whatever great film.
Right.
But they're saying like it's one of the best superhero movies ever. And I'm surprised by that and very intrigued to see why that is.
Do you find stupid to bring back Michael Keaton as Batman? Or are you just like, no, he was Batman when I was a kid, so this rules. I mean, and also, like, I can't fault you for this. That's all these movies are. It's just to make you feel like a kid again, Tom.
Yeah. No, I don't
think
it's
to make you feel dumb for 2 hours.
I don't think
dumb
it's
dumb and powerless.
I don't think it's stupid. Or dumb to bring Michael Keaton back. Apparently, like before,
he was really happy and said it was really good.
He was really happy to get a paycheck. I think he, I think Michael Keaton...
Michael Keaton does not need the paycheck, my friend.
I think Michael Keaton was probably happy to come back just because there have been multiple Batmans since him. Right. So now he gets to come back and be like, no, it's me. I'm Batman.
Right.
Like, do it again. Because he does seem to have that kind of, like, attitude about the role. That basically, like, look, I was the first, technically not the first movie Batman because there was an Adam West Batman movie.
Good movie.
But like the first modern Batman. So I think for him to be able to be like, and now I'm back to like remind everyone,
Do you think Michael Keaton gives a shit?
Yeah. Why do you think he doesn't? Always think like nobody who makes any of this stuff gives a shit.
Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
Does not give a shit. He doesn't watch these movies. Do you think Michael Keaton has watched the Snyder Cut?
No, but I think Michael Keaton probably has enough of like an ego to be like,
he threatened a journalist's life to get the Snyder Cut released or an executive's life.
Maybe he's a Zack Snyder stan, yeah. But I know this was there was a whole different plan apparently before Warner Brothers got sold to Discovery and then subsequently brought in what's his name to run DC, the Guardians of the Galaxy
Jimmy Gunn.
And that plan included that scrapped Batgirl movie had Michael Keaton in it.
Right.
He was in it. And they were going to establish Michael Keaton as like the new Batman which I do think is like a bad idea. They apparently were going to make, or they were talking about making, a Batman Beyond movie, which mm-hmm. could have been cool to have him play like the grumpy old Bruce Wayne to like a young new Batman. But I think having him as like the main Batman, it's like, he is an old man. Like at some point, look, I know Ben Affleck isn't capable of doing all these things either. And is also kind of an old man at this point, but
chalk this up to, I'm sorry I asked. So.
But yeah, I'm excited to see The Flash. It's crazy. Cause I remember when this movie was announced, people were mad because I think it was announced like the week that The Flash TV show premiered.
Right.
So people were kind of like, oh, that's like fucked up. Like a new guy just started this role and you're coming out and being like, well, guess what? There's going to be a different guy. Like you're not really being respectful to somebody currently playing the role.
You're not being respectful to The Flash.
Yeah. And he deserves
respect. The Flash. He runs extremely fast.
But I think it's very funny that there was all that talk about like this is going to be very confusing to the average person why there are two actors playing The Flash and why they're different. And fast forward, The Flash is ending its ninth and final season before this movie even comes out. Yeah. That it's like, oh, no, this was just crazy that it took that long. They had like just one of those like new directors every few years with a new vision and just nothing.
Who is directing this film?
Anthony Musetti, I think his name is. Okay. He's like a horror.
Gotcha.
I think he's done some horror movies. I think maybe he did those It movies.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will say this. It is impressive and very clever that they named him The Flash because Flash sounds like fast.
Well, and a flash is something that's fast.
I don't think that came into play.
Well, also, strangely, nobody ever called him the Flash in those other movies. He, like, didn't have a superhero name.
His name is just Barry?
Yeah. Like, yeah, Batman and Superman called him Barry. They didn't call him the Flash.
Well, maybe we'll get to see him.
We already saw it on the Flash TV show, which he appeared in one episode, like a multiverse episode.
Oh, cool. Multiverse. That makes everything.
Well, this is multiverse, Tim.
Yeah, it's very, very cool. And
well, you're not coming with me to the screening now.
Are you going
to
scream when you see Michael Keaton? Oh, my God. I can't believe he actually is.
And then
this.
When he says, I'm Batman. I mean, like, I know, he said that.
Yeah.
You know, in the trailer, he says, you want to get nuts? Let's get nuts. And it's like, it's too much because they like hold for like a full, like two beats between it.
Yeah.
And it's just him. It's, he's delivering it the way.
Does a that, record scratch?
Like, no, but he's like delivering it the way that you would imagine, like, look, if you want your photo at Comic-Con with him, it's $100. But if you pay $120, he'll say, right, you want to get nuts, let's get nuts.
And to be clear, Michael Keaton is not going to do autographs at a Comic-Con.
No, yeah, he's beyond all that. He can probably clean up, though.
Batman beyond all that.
Huh?
Batman beyond all that.
Yes, he's Batman beyond all that. I'm sorry. That broke my brain for a minute. New Batman after in the... Apparently this movie like resets the universe anyway. Because like I said, they were planning for like this Keaton Batman everything. Yeah. But apparently it lines up with what James Gunn is going to do with like a new Superman and all that.
Very cool. Tom, mm-hmm. in terms of the Tom... participation meter 1 to 10, where does this fall?
This is probably like a 9. This is up there. Wow. This is one of the movies that I'm most excited to see.
I don't fault you for being excited. I'm ribbing you, Tom.
Yeah.
I think you know what these, you know what you're doing.
Yeah. Well,
also I think afterwards you're gonna be like, yeah, it was fine. I guess that was exactly what I expected. Yeah. I don't know what I was gonna do.
I'm going into it with weird expectations of like being surprised at how many people have said like it's really good,
right?
With not being super impressed with anything I've seen in the trailer. Hopefully I'm proven right. Like, and I do kind of trust like
or not being impressed with any of the DC movies since Batman Returns, probably.
Yeah.
And like. Tiring of Marvel movies as well, like all comic book based things. You're just kind of lukewarm on these days, right?
Yeah, because the Marvel
this
stuff
isn't gonna
lately
bring you back. This
hasn't
isn't gonna...
been great, but I do appreciate that. Like a lot of the hype around superhero movies has died down enough that when people are saying something's good, mm-hmm. and like it's being shown to critics like 6 months before it comes out, and they're being like, let's show it to Stephen King. Like he'll like it and he'll tweet about it, right. That like it must be pretty good. Like I just know when James Gunn did his like presentation for the new movies, he was like, well, we still got some movies to come out. We've got the new Shazam movie that's coming out. We've got this Flash movie. This Flash movie is fantastic. Like it's so good. So I have high expectations. We'll see. Speaking of big franchises, I guess, if the Flash isn't returning to the screen, but this guy certainly is. June 30th, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. Indiana Jones is back for a fifth adventure, this time with James Mangold, who directed Logan and Ford vs. Ferrari, at the helm. Harrison Ford returns to play Indy in the late 1960s as he strives to prevent Nazis from enacting a nefarious plan related to the ongoing space race.
Okay. I didn't see the last one. The LaBeouf.
Crystal Skull.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People do not like that movie.
No. I've only seen it once, and I remember it just being just... I don't even really remember a lot of it, but I remember thinking, like, this is bad. This isn't good. Shia LaBeouf playing Mutt.
Tom.
He's like a 50s greaser.
That's cool. And that sounds cool to me.
Yeah, but it was like also one of those things where they were trying to make him the new, like, and we'll just start making movies with him. Which that's never worked.
I don't want them to ever try that.
Like, it works with James Bond, I guess, just to have a different actor play the
role.
No,
that's what it is. It's just, like, a different guy. It's like, yeah, I'm James Bond. I'm a guy.
Yeah.
Like, that's what they should do. Like,
right.
Or Indiana Jones, they could just be like, well, that, you know, that's so specific to Harrison Ford.
Yeah, I think
Ford.
It's hard.
Let's just, like, make a different movie.
Yeah, because there has been talk. I think Chris Pratt was a name that was thrown around as, like, we'll recast. And it's like, you can't recast. You know, you made four of these movies. Three of them are beloved by lots of people.
I mean, people loved
Solo, A Star Wars Story.
Yeah, I was going to say
Because that's an example of like, we'll recast Harrison Ford. And
I couldn't name one Sean Connery James Bond movie. But like, people loved those, and then they were just like, no, it's a new guy. It's a different guy now.
Yeah.
And he's playing the same character, and we're not going to say anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like unclear if like this guy had the experiences that that were portrayed in the other movies or not.
Yeah.
And like, don't worry about it. Just watch the movie.
Yeah, it's like...
It's shaken, not stirred.
Yeah. No, I agree. Like, I think actually that could have been cool with Indiana Jones if they were like, guess what? His adventures always take place in the 30s and there's just a new guy and like... Sometimes we'll maybe allude to things you've seen in other movies.
If you ask us about it, we're going to refuse to answer any questions. We're not going to like, you know, like, oh, if you sit us down at the press junket, it's like, so what does this mean? Just be like, don't, just watch the movie. Shut up.
Yeah.
That should be the...
I was reading the Beavis and Butthead subreddit today. It's a place I like to hang out online.
Spit take when I learned how you spend your day.
I'm usually on there shit posting all the time. But I'm sure you're aware from the latest Beavis and Butthead Paramount Plus movie that they kind of established that like Beavis and Butthead traveled through time from the 90s to present day. But then also there's another reality where Beavis and Butthead are like in their 50s today.
Right.
Like living on disability or whatever. I saw a post today where somebody was like, how does Van Driessen, their teacher, like not remember having Beavis and Butthead in the 90s? And people are like, you're trying to figure out, like, it's fucking Beavis and Butthead.
That's the way I feel about all of this, where yeah. It's like, hey, if this movie exists in this universe, why don't people think that Tom Cruise looks like the guy from the movie? It's like... You can't think about things this way. Just shut up and watch the movie.
Who screwed that up, Tim? Last Action Hero.
Yeah, that was cool.
They established the idea that like in Jack Slater's universe, the Arnold Schwarzenegger character, Sylvester Stallone took a lot of the roles like Terminator that Arnold took.
Yeah, that was cool.
And that was like a fun little, you know.
But
they
we
went
don't
in,
have to apply... Last Action Hero logic to every film that's ever been made.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was a fun scene. They went to a Blockbuster and there was a big cutout for Terminator with Sly instead. But yeah, and you know, it's different for comic book movies because that's like part of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, people get into it with regular things and it's unnecessary.
Yeah.
Although I will say, and look, Tim, this isn't an episode of Books the Podcast where we're reading it's not TV, it's HBO. That's not the name of the book, but it's about HBO. That is one of my favorite things though about Succession, that they've built this like entirely fictional world of media companies.
Yeah.
It's like the most recent episode, no spoilers, but they like mention a few competitors to ATN, which is like the Fox News analog. And I was so happy that I'm like, yeah, finally a movie where like CNN doesn't exist and like Wolf Blitzer has or Anderson Cooper has to have a cameo.
Yeah.
I hate that shit. Come up with a fake TV station.
Also, like, it screws up the whole dynamic. Like, Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip was SNL, but SNL existed in that world.
Yes, and now it's like, I have to imagine
this. Like, this is like a Mad TV show, actually.
Or I have to imagine a universe where like there are two shows on Saturday Night Live, and they're both, or this was like on Friday nights maybe, but like there are two successful live sketch comedy shows, and
that doesn't resemble like Larry Sanders. That was always a thing with Larry Sanders. It's like it was about network late night shows.
Yeah,
but he was talking about Leno and Letterman.
Yeah,
and Conan, and it's just like,
okay.
Well, then so what channel are you on?
Yeah,
you're on like another network. So now it's the big it's ABC, NBC. CBS and Fox and like this other thing. Like, so now that breaks the whole reality of it.
Yeah. That, I mean, you're going to hate this, but that's like kind of how the DC Comics universe works. Mm-hmm. That, like, you know, Gotham is clearly New York and like Metropolis is clearly Chicago. But in the DC universe, Chicago and New York exist. The explanation is that in the DC universe, the Earth is a little bit bigger and the United States is a little bit bigger.
I like it. I like this.
So that's how they explain.
I don't need to know that, by the way. Like, also, yeah, like, I will be accepting of,
yeah,
you know, this is the reality we're portraying. Like, you don't have to reconcile, like, the scientific reason for, mm-hmm, it,
but I kind of
appreciate
that. I like when,
because that's very dumb, and I like how dumb that is.
I just kind of like when, and like, yeah, there's a national city which is supposed to be DC, but DC exists too, which is a little confusing because then it's like, well, what happens in National City? But yeah, I like,
the answer should be shut up. Just read the comic.
There are two governments. But I like when they just like whole cloth replace everything in a universe with fictional versions.
Yeah.
I think it just gives more freedom because then it's like, well, this doesn't have to be a one-to-one. Like in Succession, ATN is not exactly Fox News. It's similar.
Right.
But they have enough leeway to be like, nah, in these ways, it's, yeah, a little bit different.
I do appreciate when there is like something, it's like, no, we're using all real brands here.
Yeah.
Because, like, it, there's some things that just, like, ring false if it's not done well. Yeah, I don't want to talk about this movie again. So, Indiana Jones, Tom, you know what I'm going to have?
What?
I'm going to have
a big bucket of popcorn while you watch,
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I'm going to have an Indiana Jones in preparation for this. In June, I'm going to watch all the Indiana Jones movies. I love the first three. I love, yeah, the first one.
I think they're all coming to Disney Plus, yeah, like at the end of the month.
As well as the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Look, I like these movies. I never saw the fourth one. I thought, I think of the core three.
Yeah.
Temple of Doom is the weakest.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it's still a fun romp. I know it's problematic, yeah, in some ways. I'm going to watch it and judge for myself. And I'm going to watch freaking...
Crystal Skull.
Crystal Skull.
Yeah,
I'm
going to
go see the dang Dial of Destiny.
I plan on also rewatching all these movies and going to see Dial of Destiny. I mean, James Mangold, have you seen Ford versus Ferrari?
I have.
Yeah,
have
you like it? No, I haven't seen it.
It was long.
Yeah.
There was cars. Matt Damon.
Yeah. Yeah. Can't go wrong with Damon. But I liked Logan. You know, it was a good movie. But I'm always suspicious when...
I know, Tom. You've been talking about Succession for the last 20 minutes. Just kidding.
What?
You like Logan.
Oh, I see. But I'm always suspicious, specifically when it's a Steven Spielberg franchise. And he's like, no, you know, I'm going to let somebody else direct this one.
Well, Steven Spielberg... did
not to say, yeah, that he's not capable of making a real clunker of a movie, but
yeah, but it is weird. It's like you don't have, like, this movie doesn't need to happen. Like,
yeah,
why Harrison Ford sure as shit doesn't want to be there. You don't want to be anywhere, right?
I don't. He's like working more than, because he's in, now he's gonna be in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
I know.
And it's like, why are you doing this when you're fucking 80 years old
and like the crankiest guy? Like,
yeah,
they were doing the new Star Wars trilogy. He's like, I'll be in the first, yeah, one if you kill me.
Yeah. I watched that show Shrinking, which I have like mixed feelings about the show, mm-hmm, but I liked him in it, and I was thinking like, this is kind of crazy. Like, I haven't seen Harrison Ford not playing like Han Solo or Indiana Jones in a while.
Well, then you haven't rewatched What Lies Beneath very recently.
Oh, I should, because, yeah, I love that movie. I remember. Yeah, it doesn't hold up. I mean, I remember watching it when it came out and loving it.
Oh, it was a total mind freak.
Yeah. But Yeah, I kind of thought with Shrinking, like, oh, this is kind of cool. Like, Harrison Ford's like, you know what? I'm going to do like a comedy drama type thing. I haven't really done that. I'm going to do TV, which he hasn't really done. So that's why it's weird to me that he's like, and then I'll make an Indiana Jones movie, and then I'll, I don't know, probably sign like a 12 movie Marvel deal.
Hey, maybe freaking Ally McBeal is encouraging that.
Encouraging him to get out of the house?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get out there and die already so I can get your money.
But yeah, I don't, I mean, I will say, have you watched a trailer for this one, Dial of Destiny?
I don't remember.
The deep fake young Harrison, not young, but like,
oh, I 40s did see this,
Harrison
yeah.
Ford. Like, it does look decent.
Yeah.
But the thing is, the deep fakes look real good as long as the person isn't talking. Right. They still haven't nailed when somebody's talking. Because I don't know if you were paying attention to any of this, but like when they put Luke Skywalker in some of these Star Wars shows, like the first time they did it, it was very uncanny valley of like, this is neat, but like, what the hell is this like computer abomination that's appeared? But the second time he appeared, they like worked around his dialogue so that like the camera wasn't, you know, the camera would switch the reaction shot
right
when he was talking.
He'd just go, that's all you saw him do. And
like, it was subtle enough that it wasn't super noticeable that that's what they were doing, but it worked. It was like, yeah, work around the weakness here. The weakness is as soon as a character starts talking, it looks weird. It doesn't look right. Cut away to something else. So I feel like in this, in the trailers, you see younger Harrison Ford, but he's not talking. It's only for like, you know, a maybe like 1 or 2 second shot at a time, or like an action shot. And it looks good, but I'm sure when he talks, it's going to look weird. But and I'm sure it's also going to look weird.
Don't do the deep fake stuff. What is it, time travel movie or something?
That's kind of what it seems
multiverse.
Like.
Multiverse? If it's a
no, it's not multiverse. It's time travel, which is, you know, I always love time travel stuff, but it is, I fear going down the same problematic route that Crystal Skull did. Spoiler alert for you, Tim, because you haven't seen Crystal Skull, but at the end, there are aliens. Yeah, like full-on gray, big-eyed alien, you know, the kind that come to your room at night, paralyze you, and then take you
for
the
experiments. I know them all too well, Tom. You don't need to tell me.
Experiments. And it's just kind of one of those where it's like, yeah, there are weird and mystical elements in the other movies.
Tom, freaking... They look in the Ark of the Covenant.
The guy's face melt.
Like, religion is real, like, unequivocally in that. Like, aliens can be real, too. It's pulpy. And it's also supposed to be like, shut up. Who cares? Watch the movie. There's aliens.
Yeah, I agree. But I think, like, all those movies, they all kind of have a similar plot of, like, everybody kind of being like, you know, that's just a fairy tale. Indeed, that's not real. That, you know, the goblet that Jesus drank out of, that doesn't exist. And then at the end, he finds it, and it's like, oh, shit, there's some knight that's been just, I don't know, hanging out for 2,000 years guarding this. And like, oh, all this stuff is real. And that kind of happens in this. Like, it's not till the very end that, like, you see aliens. But I fear that with this, that it's like the time travel is going to be a part of it throughout. And that's maybe like a little too far removed from
judgment, Tom.
I am, Tim. I'm excited to see it.
I'm excited to see it, too. I'm excited for my Indiana Jones.
Tim, we're going to have to do a part 3.
Yeah,
there's
but
just
not
no
next
two
week.
Ways about it.
We're going to take a quick programming.
We have a pre-recorded episode next week that I think people will enjoy. They'll find fun.
We got a special one-off next week.
And hey, if you like the show, subscribe. Leave us a review on iTunes. or Apple Podcasts, not iTunes. When am I from 20 years ago? And check out our website, tcgt.com, where you can find all our social media links. We got our Reddit, our Discord, all kinds of fun stuff, and our Patreon, most importantly, patreon.com/completeguide, where you can find books and podcasts. This week we're finishing up It's Not TV, the story of the rise and
the
success.
Spectacular rise, revolution, and future of HBO.
Yeah.
Felix Gillette and John Goblin.
Tim, you're going to scare people off from subscribing to the Patreon. You get all those episodes. You get the new one. You get all the back Patreon episodes. It's a fantastic deal. Patreon.com/completeguide. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Tom Reynolds.
Follow me at your pal, Tim. Yeah. Yawning.
Wow.
You're gonna get
so many more because people are going to be like, wow, he's cool. He doesn't even give a shit if people follow him or not. He's the Harrison Ford of podcasting.
I am the Harrison Ford of podcasting. No, I was yawning, and I think that signals how boring I am on social media. I don't post on Twitter.
Yeah.
And the only posts I make on Instagram are for close friends only. So if you follow me on either of those, don't expect any content.
Well, or maybe try and become one of Tim's close friends so you can watch stories of his little boy just for close friends, though. So. You gotta.
I don't want those leaking, you see.
Yeah.
The paparazzi will have a field day.
Exactly. All right. Out of all the movies we talked about, I said I'm the most excited for The Flash. What are you the most excited for?
Let me just go back.
Hypnotic. We covered three movies.
Hypnotic. Oh, no.
Hypnotic came out last weekend. I think it's out of theaters already.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I would say out of the ones we spoke about, probably Asteroid City.
Yeah, typical.
But also, like, I'm not that excited for Asteroid City. I think, like,
are you gonna see it? Are you gonna make an effort to see it in theaters? You're probably gonna wait.
It's very difficult for me to
see a movie in
movie theater. But I will say, like, that is something that my wife and I can really agree on. We're both West heads.
Mm-hmm.
So I think
there's a possibility.
Yeah, we might coordinate like a day off while the baby's at
daycare. Go see a matinee.
Yeah. Did I tell you about when I saw Air and like at the Alamo Draft House, you're allowed to talk during the matinee screenings?
Oh, really?
And they're like, and I think it's in an effort to be like kid friendly. It's
Hey,
we're not going to kick you out for making noise. But there were no kids in this, but it was just people being like, hell yeah, Michael Jordan.
Well, that's fun. That adds to it, too. Yeah. I just watched that because it's on Prime.
Yeah, it's cute, right?
Yeah, I liked it. It was like a fun... Ben Affleck's a good director because like it's a movie about a fucking business deal.
Yeah.
And like not even really a very important one for Nike and Michael Jordan, but like not one that affects me at all.
Right.
But made an entertaining to watch movie.
Isn't it just great?
That I feel like didn't stray too far from like the actual facts.
Yeah, there are definitely.
Well, you know what? Not really spoilers for this movie, but like, you know, they do a thing at the end where, typical movie based
where
on a
the,
real.
Where
yeah,
the people are.
Yeah. What happened to them after this? And they show like the guy who designed the first Air Jordan that a month later was when he came up with the Jumpman logo.
Right.
And that made me feel like. Yeah, the fact that they didn't present the shoe the first time with like the Jumpman logo, like this is what everybody has in their mind when they think of the first Air Jordan, made me feel like it was somewhat accurate because I was like, I don't know, if I were a producer on this movie, I'd be like, just put it on the fucking shoe the first time Michael Jordan sees it.
This is going to be a major spoiler, so just turn off the episode now. Like, don't even skip ahead.
Michael Jordan is an alien. he takes off his mask at the end.
No, the whole thing at the end with Michael Jordan's mom calling Matt Damon, Viola Davis calling Matt Damon, being like, you have a deal, except he needs to share in the profits.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Did not, and like that.
Oh, it didn't happen that way?
No, they were like, oh, well, here's how we'll sweeten the deal. We'll offer him profit sharing. And they were like, oh, cool, nobody else will do that. That's great. And it was, it wasn't,
so it was
like
Nike offered it because they knew they had to do
it
something.
It wasn't like in the movie, it was like Matt Damon makes a big speech that wins them over.
Yeah.
And they need to.
And then when she says that, he's like, well, that's not the way things work.
Yeah.
And
it's like, it wasn't a big speech that won them over. It was their initial pitch was, oh, they'll offer you whatever, but they won't offer you a piece of the profits, and we will. And they were like, oh, yeah, makes sense. Okay, let's do the deal. So, like, that renders like the last hour of the movie inaccurate. But like, who cares?
Yeah.
What I really like to do is learn the actual thing that happened here. Yeah. Who gives a shit? I don't know.
Decide if I want to buy Nike stock or not.
Yeah, make it fun.
Well, yeah, and it has just like a lot of like fun to watch actors. Like Matt and Ben are always fun. Viola Davis is like, she's in a lot of great things, but like sometimes she'll pop up in a bad thing and you're just like, oh, okay, at least I'm going to get to watch a scene that's decent because she's in it. I thought the guy I played the designer, I don't know his name, but I've seen him in a few things. He's fun.
Oh, I think everybody's great.
Yeah.
Fucking great is it to see Ben Affleck just being a freaking goofball comic relief.
Yeah.
And like, it's very funny that like Ben Affleck optioned Phil Knight's
and apparently
book.
Like spent time with him and stuff and was like, cool, this is how I'm
and
gonna
we're
play
gonna
you.
Make you a clown in the and like we're basing it on your book and you're gonna be the buffoon.
Well, and that's what also I thought made it seem like this must be pretty accurate because they optioned the book, it's based on the book, but like they kind of show that Phil Knight is the whole time just like, are you sure? I don't think so, but all right. Like, you know, that's not like he's like, and I came up with this idea. Jordan. And yeah, good movie. It's on Prime. So if you got Prime, hey, feel free to watch it.
What movie that we discussed are you most excited?
The Flash.
Really? Even more than Into the Spider-Verse or Out of the Spider-Verse?
Yeah, because Into the Spider-Verse,
we discussed that last week.
Yeah, that was last week. But also, it's like, I know what to expect there. I'm excited for it, but I have an idea. Like I said, The Flash, it's more because I don't think the trailer looked... I'm very curious what everybody thinks is so good about it. And I think it's probably just like, oh no, it like follows, you know, I don't know, filmmaking tropes that make this like a satisfying, like you identify with the protagonist, which I feel like so many comic book movies lately, it's like they're, you know, I keep talking about Quantumania, but it's like, Paul Rudd, he's great. And like, he doesn't really get to be Paul Rudd in
it.
And you don't really get any kind of character arc for him.
Yeah, and you don't have to do, like, I think you're right. Like, if it's just, like, a movie that they...
Just solid script.
Yeah, and that's not to go back to Air, but to go back to Air, it's like, yeah, this was, like, fine.
It set up the stakes.
But I was like...
Yeah,
I was pumping my fist when I was just, oh, it's just because like, yeah, this is great.
And luckily you were in that theater where you could yell and scream, do whatever.
You got thrown out of there.
You didn't get to see the after credit
sequence.
Punched
the usher.
Oh man.
Tom.
Mm-hmm.
One thing you put together, you very generously, not even generously, because you're benefiting from it too. But you put together this list of movies. You did the work here. I very much appreciate that. Is there a reason you left off Killers of the Flower Moon?
Oh, is that this summer? I think it's fall.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, maybe.
That's why I left it off.
Well, that's why I asked.
All right. We'll see you next week.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.